From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
The Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon around 1 o'clock, recording here today, computers work and everything, so knock on wood, we are here with you the next 75 minutes or so. We got Cubs, Brewers up on the television.
The trial's at lunch.
Oh, so we had to find something. It's baseball is what we're going on here. How long is lunch for a trial every day?
They've been giving them like an hour and 15 really? Minutes. Yeah. Okay.
Good bit of time. Yeah. So we'll talk some baseball today. There are some injuries. There's a rotation shakeup. We were going to talk about the transgender participation situation yesterday.
That might have been why they...
You think something went, you know what? Pull the plug.
A higher power might have said, you know...
Today's not the day.
That's not.
Everybody's having a good Tuesday. That's whatever.
You know...
So we'll
the kids talk, like to eat.
Yeah, we'll talk some football, some spring football, and more. So whatever comes to you here over the course of the show, the Oxford Exxon Podcast, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford and all Blue Sky locations throughout Mississippi, really. You can get the SpeedPass Plus app for any of them. When you do that, you earn points and save money there with the Oxford Exxon. You stop on in locally, and you get a $5.69 lunch special, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. Try the hot case, pork, chicken side items, or get some dessert on your way out or into town. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call the number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right off, right to the bottom line, no hassle, no haggle, you get your quote. The rest is completely up to you. You can shop it around. You can do what I've done. What we've just about everybody in my family's done at this point. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a perfect place this weekend to watch Ole Miss Mississippi State baseball in Starkville. It would also just be a great place to hang out. Enjoy a burger, po' boys, appetizers. The shrimp, great beer selection, full bar, all of that at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
So I guess baseball is where we'll kick it off first, though. Thanks to Apple. As I will say, there are lots of poor customer service experiences yesterday, and I was just on the listening end of this one, but they were incredible yesterday working with Mr. McCready.
My friend Lauren in Canada was fantastic.
I mean, patient, helpful.
She was great, man.
She's awesome.
And after you left, she was with me for another hour.
Oh, was it that long?
Yeah, because we had to fix
both computers.
Everything was on the laptop, and then we moved to the big
control
one,
center, if you will,
the iMac Pro. And we're probably going to reconvene on Friday to try to make sure that we've got it all fixed.
And I think she'll call back.
Oh, I do too.
She I was, feel good about it.
She was fantastic. She was awesome.
So she has
always buy AppleCare.
Yeah,
always buy AppleCare.
You need it. Just yes.
Yeah, whenever they don't even finish the sentence with me. Yes, I do. I want AppleCare.
Yeah, because when it goes wrong, I want you to.
She was great.
She
I mean,
was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have been happier. She got on. She accessed my phone, which is this crazy part. They can access everything.
Little big brother there.
Yeah, but she accessed my phone. I was able to show her stuff. Then she was able to get on the screens and show me where to click.
She couldn't log on to Neil's computer directly, so she did the phone and then had him point the phone at the screen and use the camera to show her
what was going on
the other computer.
Yeah.
It's kind of smart. It was.
Yeah, no, she was awesome.
So, Ole Miss beats Austin Peay last night, 13-1. The Governors hit a solo home run to start the game, and it was pretty much all Rebels from there. 7 innings, 10-run rule. Spit blast on the board. Why does Ole Miss do the 10-run rule through 7 innings? Because why wouldn't you?
Right.
You don't need to beat a team 31-0. You don't need to risk someone getting hurt, especially considering the topic of the day a little bit. And then, two, yeah, maybe you get a couple other pitchers work, but it's all right. A lot of times you'd like to get out of there using as few pitchers as possible heading into the weekend. So it makes all the sense in the world. I have no idea why Auburn feels the need to beat teams 30 to nothing sometimes over the course of the midweek play.
Look, because the other team, if they're losing 18 to 2, there's no reason for them to go ahead and lose 26 to 3.
They're good to go ahead and get off the field.
Yeah, it's done.
Too.
They need to save their pitching also.
Yeah. So the NCAA is going to track IP addresses?
No, they're not. Uh-huh. No. Look, the NCAA is mad that this transfer portal.
What happened?
The NCAA got a little pissy. Okay. That coaches, it's been building over time.
Okay.
The coaches are giving away their password to other people to track the transfer portal.
Of course they
are. And so the NCAA basically turned around and looked at the kids halfway to Disney World and said, I will turn this car around if you don't behave. Now, if you believe they're actually going to turn that car around halfway to Disney, you're out of your mind. They're not.
I get that they do stupid stuff sometimes, and sometimes they do take action, and sometimes the action is very dumb. But does anyone save more while doing less than the NCAA? My God. Like 2 or 3 days ago, whatever day it happened now, like I feel like it's been 8 weeks. That thing about the participation came out, and I went to the NCAA's release page. Oh, my God, at the number of releases these people put out about stuff. That doesn't amount to a hill of freaking beans over the course of it.
Can't believe you'd say that.
Well, it's the way I feel. Watch them take all the regionals away from North Carolina and Texas and Mississippi and Arkansas and Tennessee and whomever else at this point and put them all in Palo Alto. But nonetheless.
Can you imagine the meltdown?
No.
Just.
In Kentucky, sorry. Them too.
Yeah, I mean, just cannot imagine the meltdown.
We'll find 16 sites. It's fine.
I mean, you're talking about that would eliminate, obviously, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas, Texas A&M.
Arkansas.
TCU, Arkansas.
Texas Tech.
Louisville, Texas Tech. Kentucky, if they were to get hot.
North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina, North Carolina State.
Duke.
No way.
Well, Florida, too. Sorry. So Florida, oh, yeah, so, Miami, Florida State.
Yeah. No. It's not happening.
You still going with word salad here? Is that still where we're at?
It's a word salad. It has to be. You're not going to put any meat on that salad.
Nolan Chase from Daniels. Y'all think the NCAA squirms every time Lane Kiffin calls the transfer portal free agency? They probably would not like that acronym or that phrase, but not an acronym phrase, but
probably doesn't make them squirm. I'm sure they wish that he would use a different word, but he's right. That's what it is. It's for, you get one time, and it's going to pass this week, appears.
Yeah.
The one time, no penalty transfer.
I'm really interested to see what date they put in for baseball, because I think it's July 1st, what it looks like for most sports, but for baseball, that'd be 2 days after the College World Series. That feels tight. I would think that'd be an extended.
Is that just the beginning of the period, though?
Is that all it is?
I would think so. I don't think it's a one day. Okay. You got to do it all in one day.
So they have months to.
Or weeks.
From July to August 1 or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. But so anyway, last night, a couple different things. This isn't the lead, but this is on my mind, and I'll forget about it once we get into bigger topics. And this is going to sound incredibly critical, and I don't really mean it for that, too. Ole Miss got out to a big lead last night because of Cale Baker. He had a 3-run double in the first inning. Hits a home run later. Had a big day. Mike said that he sees a little bit of rhythm with him on fastballs. I think there's a little bit of deciphering, and I'm not saying it isn't a step in the right direction. That's not my point here. I think Mike's got to be careful to not overvalue at-bats against a 10-19 OVC team pitching last night. He's back. Well, that wasn't a premier arm on the mound for the Govs.
That's what I was going to ask for some literal numbers. What was he throwing?
Oh, I mean, he's not throwing in the 90s. I mean,
Is he even getting into the upper 80s?
Yeah, a little bit. It's mid then, man.
You know, there's a difference between hitting an 84 mile an hour fastball and a 97 mile an hour fastball or a 94 mile an hour fastball. Those 10 miles per hour are difference makers.
Yeah, I think while confidence is obviously something can be improved, and that's probably something we're struggling with Kel a little bit, I think you have to be careful to over-exaggerate into any midweek actions results for a weekend. That goes for mound things, too. I mean, last night, I mean, and they've had plenty of injuries. Max Chofi's out for the year with Tommy John. You know, huge loss. It doesn't feel as big because he hasn't pitched since opening weekend. So Ole Miss has navigated 30 games of the season without him. But, I mean, no, it is a tremendous loss to know you're not getting Max back for the rest of the year. He's in a weird timetable, too, from a return standpoint on recovery, frankly, or even getting into next year.
Yeah, because it's mid-April. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to struggle by February to be 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Would be hard to be.
I don't see how you could.
Yeah.
His goal would have to be 100% by this time next year.
Right. So, you know, they found Jack Doherty, or not found, that was kind of a joke, but Jack Doherty comes out of nowhere last night, the freshman from Collierville, 6'4". And Mike was great in the postgame about it. He was very honest. He said that that Doherty was 86 to 89 during the fall, kept working, took the months, said, you know, when you know a kid's probably not going to help or you're just getting spot innings, you're better off redshirting him. And he said the reason is not for the extra year. It's that that kid's not preparing completely to maybe throw an inning here or maybe throw an inning here. Instead, Doherty the entire time has been able to throw bullpens on Mondays, throw control scrimmages on Thursdays, and then on, you know, go to the gym on Saturday or work out or do weights or do whatever he needs to do individually instead of just wondering if there's just pieces and pieces and pieces for him. As the season moves on, you look up this week, Ole Miss has needed some extra bullpen arms. They give Doherty an opportunity. And again, it's Austin Peay. We'll see what it looks like moving forward. But from a stuff standpoint, it was really, really good. He was low to mid-90s yesterday. The velocity's ticked up that much. Mike called a good game for him. There was no waste pitches. It was just boom, boom, go get them, throw strikes. And now that's, again, probably the opponent a little bit the reason there. But I thought there was a really good rhythm with Doherty on the mound. The breaking stuff was good enough. It was worth a peek. I'm curious to see what he does with him next because I thought the stuff was pretty real yesterday from Doherty in a first appearance. So, I don't know. Maybe Ole Miss found something kind of out of the blue there. Maybe somebody popped up. And
it's worth exploring.
Well, look, every bullpen role is available except for Taylor Broadway's, if we're honest. Now, I know Austin Miller's going to pitch. I think Wes Burton's going to have an extended role, at least for a look. Jackson Kimbrell's going to pitch because he's the only left-hander you have in the bullpen, and Kimbrell's done a nice job. But as far as, hey, we use this guy in this situation or whatever, who knows?
So, McDaniel's going to start Sunday.
That is correct, yes.
So, the question now becomes, what do you do with Derek Diamond? Do you make him a midweek starter, or do you experiment with him in the bullpen?
I experiment in the bullpen. Mike has not alluded to what he plans to do with Derek at this point. And frankly, there aren't many midweek games left. So you don't have to worry about
you left out keywords there.
Yeah.
Are there any midweek games left that matter?
Well, there are no midweek games that matter, period.
So there's no reason to use him against whoever on random Tuesday.
It's like UT Martin or something.
Because today's the 14th. They're making the decision by the 10th.
Yeah, you have 26 days.
Yeah, so you have less than 4 weeks till the NCAA picks. I don't even know who. Obviously, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but
I'm pulling it up.
If there's not a game that's important, you're better off using.
Yeah, because you're not playing the midweeks against Southern Miss and Mississippi State.
Right.
So there isn't the. I mean, you already played La Tech. There's not the. Hey, this is a resume game in any capacity whatsoever. And frankly, you're not playing many games where, as long as you do what you're supposed to do elsewhere, the pitching won't matter. Like last night. Anyone could have pitched and Ole Miss was beating Austin Peay. It did not matter.
Right.
At all. I mean, they scored 13 runs in six innings. The rest of the way, Austin Peay last night, Little Rock next Tuesday, Arkansas State May 4th, Little Rock May 11th, UT Martin May 18th.
Yeah, but by May 11th, it truly doesn't matter.
From a host standpoint, it has no bearing whatsoever.
So the ones before that were pretty insignificant as well.
They were Little Rock and Arkansas State.
So two games.
Yeah.
I'd put him in the bullpen.
Well, for a couple different reasons. One, yes. Two, I think he could, if he's willing to do it, maxing him out over 3 to 6 outs, I think he could be very, very good. I mean, I think you're talking velocity sticking 94 to 97 during the two innings. He could be a dynamo back there, frankly.
You think he's capable of pitching 2 days in a weekend?
We have no idea. Yeah. We've never – he's a hell of an athlete, but that doesn't always equate. I don't know. But look.
Could he play first? I'm kidding.
Well, hey, in all seriousness, The offense has been fine without Elko to this point. They've scored a lot of runs. They need extra bats, though. Now that he's out of the rotation, it does at least bring that conversation into play, because Mike is not hesitant to have a two-way player. He's hesitant to have a two-way player who is a starting pitcher. So, no, I think you at least have to consider the fact that he's a DH, a first baseman, something with the bat.
I think I know the answer to this. If he's a first baseman, he could come pitch, go back to first base, and then pitch again, right?
In the same game?
Yeah.
You can't pitch twice.
Why not?
I don't think you can pitch twice.
Can you not?
I don't think so. I feel like I'm missing a really dumb baseball rule, but for some reason,
well,
I don't think
could you play second base and then move to shortstop and then move back to second base?
Yeah.
Then why couldn't you pitch, move to first base, and then back to pitcher?
Am I wrong? I mean,
I don't know. Why?
Well,
I'm saying if you need to do a right-left-right thing in the eighth inning of a game.
So, okay, technically, let's just play this out, all right? Hold on. I'm going to say no because of this reason.
Okay.
Let's say that Doug Nikhazy could play right field, okay, just for the sheer hell of it.
Sure.
You would end up running. You can only do it like once or twice because you're going to run out of position players. Because somebody has to come. The guy you're taking out is not going to first base.
Right. Whoever comes out is out.
So you would do this twice, just even though you're burning two other dudes.
Yeah. If you were, I'm talking about late in the game, I'm bringing in a left-hander to pitch to two guys.
Okay. I mean, I guess, but now we're really left-right lefting to a point that...
Well, and you can tell I watch a lot more Major League than other people. But you technically could do it.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Because he's not leaving the game.
Yeah, I get it. Sure. But yes, I mean, the bigger question of that is, could you just play him at first base and then bring him in for the bullpen? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
You hand him another glove.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, 100%.
Can he hit well enough to contribute to a lineup?
He hit really well in the fall. That's what I got. What does that mean?
All right. So, Justin Bench didn't play last night.
Yeah, hold on. I feel like I have something else here.
Okay.
I'm just thinking this through for a minute. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Diamond, this is contrary to thought, because I don't think it's where he's perfect at. Contrary to thought is you have a starter going to the bullpen, so he can also be lengthened and be a middle reliever or a long reliever or whatever.
Sure.
But I don't think that's how you best optimize his bullpen time. I think you optimize his time in 1 to 2 innings. If that is what Mike ends up deciding to do, somebody has to take on that long relief role or that mid-relief role that Drew McDaniel was doing, because he's no longer doing that role. So I'm curious where Mike tries to stem that moving forward, because now you're losing a fairly big piece of your bullpen.
Well, you're really gambling that your starting pitchers can go give you length. That's what
she always says.
Go ahead, insert joke.
Uh-huh.
But now you're really banking on it. Because when you take McDaniel out of the bullpen, you put him in the rotation, you don't have the long guy anymore.
No. He doesn't exist on the roster.
So it makes you ride your starters longer.
Oh, recipe
or,
here.
Or you wave the white flag, which would be hard to do after watching a team come back from 11-0.
You've got 27 innings in a weekend, and Ole Miss needs to have their starters do at least 18 of them.
Yeah.
And frankly, more like 20 in a perfect world.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of have a hard time putting it all together past that, figuring out where they're coming from, figuring out what is optimal at that point to get to 27.
This weekend could really be kind of interesting.
Arkansas was interesting in some ways, and this is interesting. In
a totally different way. This has the makings of more of a low-scoring grind it out.
State doesn't hit a ton.
They don't hit like Arkansas does.
No.
And they pitch better than Arkansas does.
They do. Quicker games, you would hope.
Nah, you jinxed it.
Nah, I don't believe in it. Like, everybody got all mad at the Ole Miss account for saying something about a no-hitter.
No, quit. No, come on.
I mean.
Come on, he had thrown 100 pitches through four.
He wasn't going nine.
He wasn't getting a no-hitter.
And a combined no-hitter, you can't jinx one of those.
No, those don't count.
They don't count.
They count, but the jinx doesn't count on that. The only way,
because you don't like not talk to the reliever when he comes out, like in the dugout, like
right,
you know, because
there might be four of them.
Yes, I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
no.
John Doe coming out after the sixth and is the first relief guy. Like, everybody's like, hey, avoid him. He's hot today.
No, it's not like the cat for the Padres the other day who's throwing a no-hitter and you know he's going to get a shot to go the distance. No, if the starter's leaving in the fifth with a no-hitter, no.
The ninth inning was like the perfect kind of for love of the game thing too, because that second batter hit a seed at the second baseman. Yeah. It's like, those are needed.
Yeah.
You got to have one or two of those at times during the game.
That ball was like 110 off the bat.
It was like, psh, pew, and it was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
2 feet either way. It's yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. But yeah, we'll talk about Justin Bench in a second. We'll talk about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're going to be local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Joey Erickson, Herring Gear Chevrolet. Let him help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevy vehicles. Get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles as well. Just give Joey a call or a text, 662-571-2367. Let him know what you're looking for. Stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson to test drive that new or used vehicle you've been wanting. Let him earn your business. With any purchased vehicle, just mention the Oxford Exxon podcast or the Soft Verbal podcast. Get $50 gas card. We're also brought to you by The Rogue. We'll have a watch party on Friday night. What time's that first game, Chase?
I think it's 6, but I'll look in a second.
Okay. It's brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from top designers. Work to lifestyle to nightlife. There's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. It's 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or at therogue.com. Also brought to you by our friends at Blue Delta Jeans. They make the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Double-decker, not happening this spring, but Blue Delta is happy to present the Blue Delta Blues Alley on April 23rd, 24th, the weekend of the LSU home baseball series, also the weekend of the Grove Bowl. Friday night, Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will play from 4 to 6. And then from 6 to 8, it'll be Grammy Award-nominated Jimmy Duck Holmes, the proprietor of Blue Front Cafe, the oldest surviving juke joint in Mississippi. And then on that Saturday, Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will be back from 2 to 6 for an afternoon of music. So go out to the Blue Delta Studio, have a good time celebrating Oxford, and Rebel Grove listeners can redeem 10% off using Rebel Grove in the Oxford Studio. And we are brought to you by our friends at Alpha Specialties. Alpha Specialties located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They are your trailer-specific professionals. If you want to haul it, they can call it. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail. They've also got Hallmark cargo trailers. They also can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for you. For podcast listeners, they've got spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. They've also got, you can get 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection at Alpha's full service shop where they repair all types of trailers. So give them a call, 601-932-9798, or check them out at alphaofms.com.
So Mike said last night Justin Bench was not in the lineup, and it was not just a typical day of rest. Really credit to him. Mike was full of information that was incredibly honest last night. Not that I'm overly surprised, but just there was so much going on. It was kind of like, oh, like he just kind of kept, because let's be honest, he could have kicked the ball down the street a little bit on the rotation stuff.
Sure.
I mean, that was not necessary to give us on a Tuesday night by any stretch of the imagination.
Appreciate it, though.
That's fine. All
sure.
Good. Yeah, sure. But he said that, it's not just a rest day, that Justin Bench is dealing with some back issues that popped up on Monday. He said where the injury was, but whatever, somewhere in the back. And that he was seeing, I believe the quote was another doctor today, which means there are at least two. That's not a good sign, typically.
The second opinion?
Oh, I got it. He said that he hoped he was available this weekend was the term used there. I don't know. I'm checking. medical information is kind of hard to come by. I don't always kind of get that, so we'll see. But look, Neil and I were discussing it earlier today. The loss of Justin Bench by itself would be an enormous loss for Ole Miss. The loss of Justin Bench after losing Tim Elko is catastrophic. Let's be honest. You're talking about another spot in the lineup. You're talking about your most versatile player by far. He can play literally anywhere on the field other than catcher. He's having a hell of an offensive year. He gets on base. It would be a very tough blow to overcome if you lost him for any considerable time whatsoever. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know how else to say it. They would – Plumlee would have to play every day. You'd have to have some flexibility to move McCants around.
I'm laughing at this screen right here. Watch this pitch from Arrieta. Arrieta gets 3 inches off the outside corner. When major league pitchers get 3 inches,
they're unhittable.
They're not hittable.
I mean, that's like a Tuesday for Glavin back in the day. It's just kind of what he got. I mean, you know.
Yeah. They would get mad when they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. That's what
he looks like. He could be hell at like beer league softball, doesn't he?
Dan Vogelbach, didn't you know he destroys beer league softball?
Do you know what that dude would do to just some slow pitch softball?
Well, he's left-handed. If you're the first baseman, you're like, oh, hell no. I'm going to
look at this.
I'm going to right field right now. Deep right field.
I mean, in all honesty, if you're the first baseman in slow pitch softball, where do you stand? You do back up off the infield, don't you?
No, I'm going to right field. If he hits a single, he hits a single. He's not hitting me.
So if he hits a ground ball to third, you can't get to.
So?
He ain't hitting a ground ball to third.
I mean, what are the odds?
Aren't not good.
No, I'm playing deep right field.
Is he the first overall pick in beer league softball?
Looks like it.
He's definitely the first guy I'm sending off the bus.
He looks like a beer league softball guy. I mean, look at that. He's so big in the middle that his belt's bent over. He skips leg day.
Yeah.
Big arms.
Hit a little dribbler.
I look at him running. He got all day.
They were playing a shift. Even at that level. I didn't think he was going to go the opposite way there too often. I wonder what former Ole Miss players have like just torn up like City League softball once they finish.
What I was just thinking was look at Vogelbach. This is the beauty of baseball, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't see these guys. Like a guy like Vogelbach's never playing in the NBA. And really doesn't play in today's NFL. Vogelbach versus Arrieta. Like Arrieta is built like a damn brick house.
Yeah.
And Vogelbach looks like, I had some donuts and beer for breakfast. Sorry.
I can't hit it all, Brian. Yes, I suck at slow pitch softball. Like I pitched a lot, but I had 4 high school at bats. They did even as a high school player, I was not a hitter. Like I was a starting pitcher that got DH for or a reliever that they pulled out of the game when they came up in the spot in the order. Like no, I can't hit. I had 4 at bats. I hit 2 doubles and struck out twice.
Oh really?
Yeah, career 500 hitter.
500 hitter. There you go.
Absolutely, complete and utter shock. One of them was after I screwed up a bunt twice and just hit like a cue shot over the third baseman's head and it like hits fair and shoots.
Counts.
Double.
In the box score, it looks like a one bouncer.
I was really
off
excited
the
paper the next day when they run the box scores. Like, hey,
2B.
Pitcher of record dash, and double.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Take that, ladies.
But no. But no, we're talking Plumlee potentially having to move McCants around a little bit. It brings in a situation where you need whether Baker figures it out, whether it's LaFleur, Diamond, Harris, whatever. You got to figure that out. You know, I think it would – it's a problem in the lineup. It's the biggest problem in the lineup, but it would also be a very big problem defensively also because he gives you such a glove in multiple spots defensively.
Travis Shaw hits a home run, which is perfectly fine, but Bernie the Brewer just went on the slide with a mask on.
Did he?
Now, why does Bernie the Brewer need a mask? Can you come up with one reason that Bernie the Brewer needs a mask?
There's a hole in the costume, so you're protecting yourself.
Okay.
They show him going on the slide?
They showed him enough for me to see that he put a mask on the costume.
How long do the players have to put one on once they get back in the dugout? Or do they have to at all? What's the rule there?
Well, the virus knows that you just hit a home run. You got to catch up on your breath, so it leaves you alone for a minute. Uh-oh.
Has Arrieta been good, or has he been like a little bit of a farewell tour?
He's been all right. He's about to get thrown out.
But it's a farewell tour.
Yeah, he's near the end.
You know, look, you don't know if somebody, Ginger, you don't know if somebody would have gotten hurt last year. You don't know how things would have played out. But there's no doubt that last year's team, top to bottom, was a little more talented because you don't just replace Tyler Keenan and Anthony Servideo. I mean, that doesn't happen. You had two All-Americans on that team who are not there right now.
You can drive yourself crazy with stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's – but look.
I mean, I'm sure Tim Corbin sometimes looks back and goes, oof.
Out of another year.
How many years was I going to have those two guys together?
But hopefully Justin can play. Hopefully this is just a blip for a few days. I don't know. You know, and if you can survive a weekend, but anything longer than that, and Ole Miss does have a bit of a lineup problem, but I don't know how they would get around it without having some considerable loss from a productivity standpoint.
Key this weekend still is get one, right? I mean, you want to get two, but you got to make sure you get one. And then come home and get well?
Sure. The little bit of problem they have there is if you lose this one too, you went 0-3 in the three series against teams that are worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, you beat Auburn and Alabama. Okay, great. It means you gotta really get to work if you only get one this weekend. You're fine. I mean, you're still 9-6 in the league. That's no problems. That's 3-3 to the number that I gave you earlier, which is 12-9. So, yeah, they could technically lose 4 out of 5 series and still hit the number that I'm talking about. But, yeah, you kind of need this one. You don't really want to lose 3 series in a row and move to 2-3 overall in series. But, sure. I mean, don't get swept, duh, because that would be bad. But, no, I think it's a little more important than that. I think this is a big mental test weekend for Ole Miss to kind of see what they got. Because, look, State's beatable. State's good, but State is not some just absolute monster over there waiting to be tamed. Vanderbilt got me sidetracked for a second. You're talking about that. If they didn't make it, would this be a bigger upset or whatever you want to call it than when that 07 team didn't make Omaha?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because you're going to have two of the top 5 picks in the draft. Dominant arms.
Now, that team had a lot more offense, and that Dolph team also had 2 starters.
Yeah, but these 2 starters are better than those 2 starters.
Both of them. Well.
Yeah.
David Price was good.
He was. Rocker.
Price or Rocker?
I'm still thinking of taking Rocker.
Are you really?
Yeah.
And I know you're taking Leiter over Minor.
Yeah. I'm taking Leiter over all of them.
I know.
But yeah, I'm taking Leiter over Price, and I'm taking Rocker over Minor.
Oh, you're doing it that way. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're flipping them, but what difference does it make? I mean,
Leiter could throw on Friday. If
and you're like in Leiter. You're in a scenario where if you win Friday and Saturday in a regional, you've got to completely wet the bed to not win the regional. It happens, but it doesn't happen often.
No.
And then in a super regional, you're set up to win.
The first 2 games.
Yeah, because it's you win 2 games. You're not going to play any team in the country whose pitching matches up to yours, games 1 and 2.
Yeah, some team, when the brackets are announced and they see their regional matched up with Vanderbilt, goes, oh, shit.
Yeah, okay. I mean, to get to a third game, you're going to have to beat one of those guys. And the way Leiter's pitching, it means you've got to beat Rocker. Okay. I realize Georgia beat him once. I'm still betting on Kumar.
Now, look, Rocker.
I mean, let's not do this deal that I've seen some people do where Kumar got knocked around a little bit against Georgia and everybody goes, oh, see? Like, no, come on. He's still capable of absolutely taking the baseball.
Everybody gets popped around once or twice. Ole Miss beat the hell out of Casey Mize that day. Casey Mize is still a good pitcher.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations to Casey. Got his first major league win the other day. Yesterday, okay. Maybe, or day before.
Okay.
But no, I mean, you're still talking about a guy in Rocker that every time he takes the ball, there's a decent chance that he's going to shove it right down your throat and there's nothing you can do about it.
It has an attitude that you have to match. I mean, he.
Yeah, when he's on, gets the right umpire, he's on.
And he kind of starts strutting and it's like,
no, you're over.
Yeah.
You're done. Game over.
Yeah. Yeah, he did tell Michigan to quit effing with him. I mean, the clip of what he did to the poor Duke kid once he backed out and tried to get him off his rhythm in that no-hitter, like, should go into Cooperstown right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's just glaring. Like, all right, get back in the box.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Strikes him out and just starts screaming at the Duke dugout.
Okay. Yeah, that was awesome.
Hey, okay.
That was great.
It's all funny to your team's the one getting screamed at, but even then you have to go, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, he's a bad dude. Yeah, Georgia got him, but just because Georgia got him doesn't mean.
You know, think about it. I don't really hate Vanderbilt at all. I kind of find them interesting. Like,
I've said all along, I'm a Tim Corbin fan. All Tim Corbin has done is taken a situation and maximized it. He's not breaking any rules. He's not cheating. He's not doing a damn thing wrong. Everything he is doing is within the letter of the law.
Yeah.
And kids keep coming to play there, and his former players, and to me, this speaks volumes about Corbin. His former players go there to train in the offseason.
Yeah, they do.
If they had a bad experience and they didn't like him, they wouldn't be back. Can't avoid that. You can hate Corbin, you can hate Vandy, but that speaks volumes.
The Whistler is the worst part of Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I get it. That but now you're talking about, quote, I, end quote, hate a team because of a fan or because of their fans. I don't ever do that.
It's interesting to me that Vanderbilt hasn't made him stop.
Yeah.
I didn't put a lot of thought into it, but
unless Corbin for some reason thinks that it gives them some advantage. Because you know he's had to evaluate it in his own head. Is this worth it?
Yeah.
Because you know he gets sick of him too.
ESPN yells at him, and then the dude's any other fans say anything to him, and he's calling security, and he's threatening to, you know, he's saying he got assaulted. Like he's a whiner too. I mean, Hoover is every single year there are altercations in Hoover between him and somebody else. Every single year.
Yeah.
He almost like asked for it. I think he likes the attention of it. Now, you have to like the attention to even be that guy. You're not the Whistler without enjoying stirring shit up all the time.
Right.
That's the only way you even get to that.
He's a troll.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And the calisthenics thing is kind of obnoxious, but whatever.
Yeah, to me, that's more funny than it is anything. Like, every time I've seen it in person, I giggle. Like,
really?
Like, yeah, because the first couple of times I asked you, what are they doing?
Calisthenics.
And you're like, oh, they're doing calisthenics or whatever. And I laughed. I'm like, that's just.
They do it every time.
They're just.
They're sort of in on the joke a little bit.
Well, and they're picking at your scab.
They are.
And for whatever reason, it was amusing.
Vanderbilt and Louisville more than any team in the country. And frankly, Ole Miss and Arkansas have gotten this way.
Come on. Ole Miss and Arkansas both. I watched the games on television. They were both super chippy.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's not act like either one of those teams was like the picture of sportsmanship. And I have no problem.
Nobody's like the Steinbrenner Yankees that just.
No, it's just a game. They didn't do anything crazy wrong. Nobody was headhunting. Nobody did anything that was hurting anybody.
But the point being, if you're an opponent and you don't know how to handle it or manage it, they will get in your head.
Yeah.
They will get you off your game with the stupid shit they do.
Yeah, it's why I don't think. To me, the Ole Miss-Arkansas series was super entertaining because I don't think either team was remotely bothered by the other.
They're the same.
I know.
That's why they hate each other. They're exactly the freaking same.
But, I mean, they weren't even like.
Nobody was threatening to fight. It wasn't like Ole Miss and Vanderbilt actually throwing some punches.
More the fans doing all the talking.
The fan bases are nuts.
Yeah, like the two teams were kind of.
Well, I don't know what causes it. And I think you might see a little more of this if you had a male at Arkansas. And we know this because you've dealt with it on a personal level and a professional level, too. That Arkansas internet community is some
crazy.
Of the weirdest people in the history of the world in
nuts.
Their own ways.
They're psychotic.
Yeah. So it creates this odd social media thing where it's like.
Well, it's like people come to me like, I can't believe. I'm like, man, I have girls and all of their friends are girls. And none of those girls are psychotic about sports. Like, there was one here that was a big fan, and when Kevin Copps came in on Saturday in game one before they left to go for game two, she's like, oh, there goes Kevin Copps. It's over.
And you're like, you know that?
I'm like, yeah, I was kind of impressed, you know? And she was right. I mean, when he's on, he's okay. It's over, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, they came back from the game going, that was awesome. Because it was fun. It was an environment.
I don't think Campbell could pick Lyle Lockhart out of a crowd.
No, hell no.
No way.
No way. Maybe his girlfriend or something. Yeah.
Sure. All right. We'll continue our conversation in 1 second. First, say about Northeast Spark, NESPARC.com. Two packages, the Ignite 100 Mbps or the Blaze, the one gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio, your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, serving people across rural communities. 662-238-3159. Phone services available, as well as parental controls, network security, and more. Find out if they're in your area. They're all over town now, and let them be installed for you. Again, nespark.com, 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by the law firm of Bain, Moss, and Bowen, located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss, and Bowen's the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. That experience is unmatched in that regard. You can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street or call them at 662-287-1620. I've got a mailbag up on the site today. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. Whitney sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573, 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances, up to $50,000, and refund ATM fees nationwide. They also offer online bill pay, mobile check deposit using their online app. To learn more about OUB, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well, phenomenal service there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
So I guess where we were going yesterday, quickly here, I don't have a ton of hot takes, I don't think, but so let me find it. I had it up yesterday and we had computer issues, and the transgender participation release sent out by the NCAA. Here it is. It was still in my history. I'll just read it verbatim, and then we'll go from there. It says, the NCAA Board of Governors firmly and unequivocally supports the opportunity for transgender student-athletes to compete in college sports. The commitment is grounded in our values of inclusion and fair competition. The NCAA has a longstanding policy that provides a more inclusive path for transgender participation in college sports. Our approach, which requires testosterone suppression treatment for transgender women to compete in women's sports, embraces the evolving science on this issue and is anchored in participation policies of both the International Olympic Committee and the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee. Inclusion and fairness can coexist for all student athletes, including transgender athletes at all levels of sport. Our clear expectation as the association's top governing body is that all student athletes will be treated with dignity and respect. We are committed to ensure the NCAA championships are open for all who earn the right to compete in them. When determining where championships are held, NCAA policy directs that only locations where hosts can commit to providing an environment that is safe, healthy, and free of discrimination should be selected. We will continue to closely monitor these situations, determine whether NCAA championships can be conducted in ways that are welcoming and respectful of poor participants. It said nothing from a standpoint of what tangible things will happen, because couple parts of this are interesting to me. Somebody said, hey, is this similar to the flag thing? No, the flag thing strictly prohibited in advance host competitions from being in states that had Confederate flag inside their state flags, except for Georgia, which actually had the state flag, the Confederate flag inside their flag, but sure.
Right.
But that was different.
They're totally different.
Because people are stupid, that was fine. Still really annoyed by that.
I'm just glad for Kylin Hill because he solved the whole thing.
Thank God.
I know. Thank God for Kylin Hill.
This is similar to the bathroom bill from a few years ago when the NCAA came out talking about the bathroom policy stuff and essentially made sure all stadiums were a void of discrimination, if you will, however that was done. I don't have good phrasing, but anyway, that's what we were talking about.
I'm
that's
just letting you
about.
Talk.
I know.
Because usually it's me hanging myself.
So, yeah, it's not really a topic of hot mics and whatnot. So here's the deal. There was nothing in there about the actual state laws prohibiting. It mentions a couple times that the athletes have to be available to participate. And even this is probably a stretch, but if there's an issue, it could potentially pertain to a women's sport regional, in my opinion, because you could at least make the argument that these states are trying to deny transgender women from participating in those sports.
Trying to deny
a transgender woman from playing college softball.
People who were born with male genitalia playing
transitioning
a female
to
sport.
Correct, yes.
Right.
That is correct. That is, and even that interpretation I have not seen anywhere. I'm just saying even in the most liberal sense, that's how I would interpret what was actually said from a reading the word standpoint. People saw headlines and just immediately freaked out without actually reading the release.
No.
I know, it's damn
true. Are you serious?
Yeah. And
in today's media?
Well, it was my favorite part, honestly, of the NCAA Ole Miss thing. We're all over the place, but it's fine. The NCAA Ole Miss thing, on those 2 days where they released all the documents, and, like, Neil and I open them, and, like, we kind of have a strategy. It's like, hey, you read seven, you read this, or whatever. And in, like, 90 seconds, like, Dan Walker or somebody goes, da-da-da-da-da. It's like,
no.
You haven't read shit.
No,
like,
no way.
There's more minutia in this thing than...
Because we took 90 minutes to read it.
Oh, yeah, it was just on and on and on
yeah,
and on.
Like, it's like, really digging in.
Yeah, and, like, within 5 minutes, just hot takes. It's like, okay, yeah, you, whatever. But point being... Ole Miss submitted their bid this week for regionals and super regionals. It had to be released, was it April 12th? Yeah, 12th, Monday.
Yeah.
I've not heard of any hiccups pertaining to anything related to this topic in a prohibitive way. As I said on Monday, it's true. They based their bids off 25% just in case.
Well, it's a potential real moneymaker.
What do you mean?
Well, if your bid is just 25%. And you fill it to 125%.
Well, I think they're under the guise that the NCAA is going to prohibit anything beyond 25% attendance.
How utterly stupid will that be?
So it was safe to put 100% in, but now that the NCAA runs the event, 25%.
Yeah, you're going to have to walk me through the logic on that. Someone's going to have to walk me through that and make me not just giggle.
Telling Mississippi and Texas schools that they have to take 75% of their attendance away, potentially, even though they've been doing it all year with no issues whatsoever. But I'm expecting an across-the-board 25% attendance.
You think they'll enforce it in June?
I won't be shocked if that's the rule. We'll make it the most sterile environment in the history of the world.
That's how you grow the sport.
Oh, yeah. It'll look great on TV. The beer shower will be, hey, can I reach you?
I feel sorry for the people that have to enforce it. Truly. Like the Ole Miss people that have to figure out, or the Mississippi State or Arkansas or wherever, who gets the tickets and who doesn't. That's why I said if you're going to do the 25% thing, I'd almost just go, you know what, screw it, we'll go somewhere.
So I guess they had to base all their stuff off 25% of whatever the documented attendance is, which is...
Well, now it's 12,000 something or whatever it was. I mean, that's...
If that's whatever, I don't know.
That wasn't... Yeah, I don't know.
Deal, 25%. Our stadium holds 46,000. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You
fine.
Know.
Those tennis courts back there, it's in play. I don't know. Oh.
Are they really calling them that?
I hope not. I refuse. I'm not taking the bait.
Come on.
Nope, not taking the bait. I'm done. Well, I don't know. Ole Miss hasn't had to try to beat Tennessee Tech in a super regional. It might be very difficult. Their coach is still at Rice. That program is – Rice is trying to get back in the baseball business, but they're having a hard time kind of getting
They're trying
all.
To follow the Vanderbilt model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alabama announced 50% capacity for the spring game. Oh. Hold on. That was actually right. Michigan – is limited to 236 fans. Please. Whoa. Is that just their 25% or whatever their stadium holds?
Welcome into my world. I've been waiting for you and all of you to kind of join me in this quest.
Hold on. 236.
Science, Chase. Science.
Well, that's true. 25% of Ole Misses is more than 236. That's true. I don't. Yeah, the flag change did. That's not the problem. The flag change makes it where Mississippi can technically host predetermined site events.
Right.
Now, getting those, there's a whole nother ball of wax, but they are technically eligible to get them.
The 237th fan on the list is super sad.
236.
So
you think they're not going to do this? You think they're going to open it up? You're giving the NCAA credit to completely open this thing up.
Well, look, we have a show called Hand Raise Guys, and I keep thinking that at some point somebody in the room raises his or her hand and says, but why? They're going to make fun of us when we do this. It's been documented. When they played Arkansas in Oxford back in April, there were people crawling all over themselves. The hospitalization rate is down in that state. The death rate is virtually non-existent in that state. Vaccines have been available to anyone 16 or older for 3 months now. Why are we doing this? Are we doing this only for theater? Because they're going to call us out on it. Now, maybe nobody cares. And maybe they're gambling, and they're probably right, that the mainstream media will applaud them for being brave and for having the courage to tell us Neanderthals that we're idiots. But when the numbers support the Neanderthals, you look like you're just doing this for theater, because you are.
Because they haven't seen any. I mean, there haven't been big stories about it. You know what? Nothing happened, have there?
No, they won't do those stories. They won't touch those stories. I'm not even getting into some of the stories that are in the media today that the mainstream media won't touch. That in a flip the script and they'd be all over those stories. But in this case, there's literally evidence that you can do it and it doesn't hurt anything. So when you say, nope, can't do it, it's theater. That's it. Pure theater. And so there's a part of me that thinks there has to be somebody who sits in that meeting and goes, man, we're going to get killed for this. This is dumb.
You're with me, however, the participation thing will not actually impact anyone in June.
Because of the same thing I just said. Because I think someone sits in that meeting and goes, okay, when we do this and we create this firestorm,
frankly, is not just a one-year firestorm. If you're doing this, it is forever.
How do we put this firestorm out once we start the fire?
Yeah. Barring legislative change, you are prohibiting 5 of your 8 biggest baseball states in the country?
Yeah, so my question, if I'm sitting in the room, would be, okay, so once we start this fire, it might be really hard to put it out.
Yeah.
So here's the thought.
Y'all are willing to kill 12 of the top 25 programs in the country.
Yeah, so here's the thought. Let's not start this fire.
Yeah. Let's put the match away.
Do we really want the NCAA, do we really want these state legislators? Because here's what's coming when you do this. The state legislatures start going against, they start fighting you. I mean, you do this to Mississippi. We saw what happened the last time Ole Miss and Mississippi State sort of
bounded together.
Thanks to Kylin Hill, came together, and I mean, they acted pretty quickly. That's a pretty strong deal. You don't think this would be met with some aggression in the state of Arkansas, do you? You don't think this would be met with some aggression in the state of Tennessee?
Texas?
Florida. Where they talk about secession half the time anyway. You want Ron DeSantis on this? Do you? I mean, seriously, forget the politics for a minute. Do you really, as the NCAA, want those kinds of bodies fighting you?
Yeah.
I would think not.
Yeah.
Over this? Over something that the majority of Americans, I'm guessing, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. I think the majority of Americans don't like the idea of a natural-born man playing women's sports.
And the evidence to it to this point has been very one-sided against it being fair. You had the wrestler in Texas and some instances where it certainly was not a completely equal situation.
I mean, if you're the NCAA, you do have to pick your battles. Mm-hmm. Is that really a battle worth fighting? Is the COVID attendance policy a battle worth fighting? It's more likely they'd fight that battle than the other. The other's just got war written all over it. And frankly, a war they might not win.
Yeah, I don't know that 70% of the population will get vaccinated.
Well, they won't.
That is a very high number.
They won't.
Yeah. That's a number that I'm not sure can be reached. We'll talk about something in a minute. Before we do that, I'll tell you about Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page. See everything going on locally this week and every week. Ole Miss baseball returns home next weekend to host LSU. The double-decker bus tours, 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock there in front of Visit Oxford. You can register and reserve a time for those, as well as Tunes Around Town. That's from 5 to 7 on Saturdays throughout the spring. Music acts at 4 different spots around the Oxford Square, including many more activities going on next weekend for the spring edition of the Oxford pop-up there with Visit Oxford. So again, visit oxfordms.com/events.
Podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners. Allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits, simply not available to other travelers. Now would be a really good time to get in touch with John. If you're thinking about traveling this summer, if you think about doing something holiday time, thinking about doing something next year and you want to cash in on this year's prices, you can do all of that by getting in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. He'll give you options. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They're also home to the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services Team. Get in touch with them. They'll conduct a complimentary, no-obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees. Also brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop rebel shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, you can go to collegecornerstore.com. And you can find them on Facebook and Instagram as well. They have the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. I had to deal with Comer Heating and Air yesterday. We're having a little bit of an issue with one of our units. Comer came right out, found it, fixed it, all good. They'll do the same thing for you. They've been doing it in the Oxford, Tupelo, and surrounding areas for more than 50 years. They are the name you can trust in HVAC, heating, and air. So get in touch with them at 662-801-1777. And we're brought to you by Lehman's Fine Jewelry. Lehman's at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. They've been serving Oxford for almost 75 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more. Lehman's is the gold standard in fine jewelry. So visit them at lehmansfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777.
So Bernie Madoff died today?
Saw that.
Yeah. Kind of going through the ESPN headlines. That was one because of the impact that had on the New York Mets, obviously. Their owners were in about a $1 billion lawsuit following that Ponzi scheme from Madoff. It was mentioned in our thread a minute ago. Top Gun 2 Maverick has been moved to November the 19th from July 2nd.
Yeah, Jay mentioned that on G-Pits.
Yeah, essentially because more people would be in theaters, they believe, in November compared to July. So,
you'd feel comfortable going to a theater now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm 3 weeks post-second vaccination at this point. I mean, I don't really feel much issue with anything at this moment.
Yeah.
I don't. Being around crowds or being in confined spaces is not impacting any of my decisions.
I'm licking light poles these days,
man.
Just to see what happens.
Okay. Like Christmas Story, except all the time. Just like.
Yeah. Just taking leftover chewing gum and popping it in.
Once I did the airplane thing that day, it was like, okay, well, that's it now. I'm good. Like, I was. You know, the funny part of the airplane thing is even before it really got started, and I don't know why we're talking about the pandemic topic, but the way their filtration system is, there's been no mass spread of it on an airplane at any point, right?
Well, not that we know of, but if you give it 2 more weeks.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, you never know.
It just seems like an odd place to be the most cautious place we have when it literally they have like a built-in filtration system into the... Okay.
What else you got?
Nothing. I'm good. I don't know. Baseball, football stuff.
Ginger's been going to theaters since August. I'd be totally comfortable going to a theater.
Well, that's what some of the problem is we don't have freaking movies.
Right.
Hollywood got shut down for however period of time. Like, I'm still waiting on season 6 of Better Call Saul. I mean, it's going to be next year before we get it. Did you do Better Call Saul, or did you stop at Breaking Bad?
I stopped at Breaking Bad. I did a few episodes of Better Call Saul, but I just couldn't get into it. I've heard it's really, really good.
It might be better.
Yeah.
It's different.
And it's not quite as...
Nowhere near as dark.
Yeah.
No. It actually is almost a comedy at times. It's light.
Yeah.
No, sorry. That's not right. It's light relative to Breaking Bad.
Yeah, because I'm the guy the other night, 2 minutes into CNN, I'm like, nope, turn to The Office.
Did you really?
I did. Not going down the road.
If something's dark, you just...
Well, I was very angry at our field the other night because that was aggressive. That was aggressively bad reporting. And they knew it. And if they didn't know it, they should have known it. It was incendiary reporting.
So you needed something to...
To lower my blood pressure because you're literally promoting riots that could kill people on information that is not completely accurate.
Correct.
Or in some cases, accurate at all. It bothered me. You've been around me long enough to know that aggressively bad journalism bothers me.
So are you doing any TV shows at all?
No. Not right now. I need to find something because... Running out of things on Food Network. Luckily.
But like, we're not getting Ozark back yet.
But I don't really have. I don't watch it during the day. I'm watching the trial because this trial's been fascinating to me. People ask me.
You've watched a lot of this.
I've watched basically the whole thing. Listened to a lot of. I've stayed on one channel. I've not flipped.
Yeah.
So I've only done headline news.
You're just getting the very bare bones.
Yeah, but their panel's pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah, I've gone this week's. Actually, since the defense started, I've flipped to I think he's going to get convicted.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I went from thinking he was going to be a hung jury.
So, do you think both sides have done a poor job in their display?
No, I think the prosecution has been workmanlike and gotten it done. The defense. So it's interesting, the defense attorney, and this is not political what I'm about to do before anybody goes, oh God, I'm not. The defense attorney has done the solo. He's handled the entire thing by himself. So I think he started to make mistakes. They put up a police use of force expert yesterday.
Okay.
Who may as well have been a prosecution witness. It just destroyed. It was awful. It was like you watching it going, dude, he's getting convicted.
Okay.
And then this guy, they have a doctor up today. He's a forensic pathologist. He's been okay. I just think the damage is done.
Okay. Let's see. Baseball America came out with a top 64 kind of regional projection thing today. They have Ole Miss matched up with Louisville in the super regional round. They love doing that for clicks. It's their way to go. You know what? We're gonna get talked about.
Well, it's April. It's still a few weeks away, so they can entertain themselves somewhat.
Because that's what they're doing.
Yeah. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, sure. Whatever. If somebody told me, hey, you're in charge of a 64-team field, yeah, we're going to put every little cute matchup we could find in this thing. And we're going to play.
Well, sometimes you do have to entertain
Tennessee's going to match up with Arkansas. We're going to do the Vitello thing. We're going to do some McDonald Bianco stuff.
Sure.
We might send East Carolina to Oxford. We're gonna play around. We're gonna do some of that.
If you told Mike he had to go against Louisville or East Carolina, which one would he dread the most? Louisville, because his son's there too?
Well, yeah. I mean, he'd rather play East Carolina for a multitude of reasons.
They're going to have less overall talent.
They're going to have less depth. Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, no, 100%. You don't want to lose to Dan either. National seed standpoint, Arkansas the 1, Vandy the 3, TCU the 14, Texas the 4, Carolina the 13. Ole Miss the 12, Texas Tech the 11, State the 6, Tennessee the 9, SEC.
Wow. So Ole Miss is the 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
As of this one, that's correct. Southern Miss, Clemson, and Samford, the 3 teams in the regional. Clemson was the 2 seed in Oxford in 2019.
I remember that.
Yeah. Doug beat them on day 2, and then they didn't get back for the final, right? Didn't Ole Miss just beat the crap out of like a 3 or 4 seed in the final?
Seems like it.
Yeah. Like Jacksonville State or something.
Yeah, I can't remember who, but it wasn't Clemson. They got beat.
Yeah. And then there was like Cinderella then got popped by Ole Miss in the final prior to them going to Arkansas the next week. So anyway, just a little thing, there. Let's see. What else do we kind of have to close? Spring football. Anything? Let's see.
Lane was full of information yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was kind of like a dog days a little bit, wasn't it?
It was very typical of a fourth week of spring. You know, he didn't want to be there. I'm not convinced all of us wanted to be there either. There wasn't a whole lot to ask. He's not going to answer injury questions. He's not really going to give you much on personnel.
At all.
And so people just have kind of stopped asking.
We think about this. Saw this a second ago. Major League Baseball has again teamed with the Independent Atlantic League to test rule changes with the current set aimed at keeping starting pitchers in the game longer and creating more balls in play. In the second half of Atlantic League play this summer, starting August 3rd, the pitching rubber will be moved back to 61 feet 6 inches, giving hitters more time to react to pitches, according to a release by MLB on Wednesday. With strikeout rates increasing for 15 consecutive years, MLB determined the additional foot would be the minimum interval needed to evaluate a change in mound distance. The hope is fewer swing and misses and more contact, change that is more meaningful without being disruptive, according to the release.
My only concern is what it might do to arms that are conditioned to throw 60 feet 6 inches and not 61 feet.
You think it'd make a difference?
I don't know.
Effort's still effort, right?
That's my guess.
You have to put more effort?
I wouldn't think. I'd like to see it. I just hope somebody doesn't get hurt because of it. I will say this. Major League Baseball right now has way too much swing and miss.
They do.
It's frankly a boring product.
Trivia question. I knew the answer to the bound has been at the current distance since when?
1962?
1893.
Oh.
The height changed. The distance has been the same since 93. When the National League moved the rubber back 5 feet, strikeouts declined from 8.5% in 1892 to 5.2% in 1893, and the average increased from 245 to 280. So that's real indicative, obviously, 130 years later, but sure. Let's see. The Atlantic League will also implement a double hook rule in which a team will lose its designated hitter when it removes its starting pitcher. That rule will be in effect the entire season,
oh,
which starts May 27th. The goal is to see starters pitch longer in the games, creating more value for them and increasing late-game strategy. I like it.
I like that. That's what
I like it.
Now, I like experiments like that, like at the minor league level where it really doesn't freaking matter who wins.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that. Yeah. That's that. Experimenting with strategy is a good thing.
I have no problem with that. DH for the starting pitcher, and then, nope, you're done.
Yeah.
And you get to keep the extra bat. If your pitcher can go 8, if your pitcher can only go 3, sorry, you lose the bat.
Right. No, I like that.
I'm completely good with that.
The dude who is in the lineup to be the DH that night and only gets 1 at-bat is going to be a little pissy, but
hey,
is what it is.
What you signed up for.
What's interesting in minor league baseball, though, is that so many of the teams are – the pitchers are on a pitch count that's determined by the big league club. Like a starter is going to go 60 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
The end. So it's really not even about strategy.
Then a couple other things as well is the Atlantic League will continue to use the automated ball strike computer umpire system that it started in 2019.
Uh-huh.
The ABS will also be used in some low Class A Southeast League games this season. And here's the change. The strike zone in the Atlantic League this year will be two-dimensional, measuring the front of home plate rather than three-dimensional. So a strike would have to cross the front of home plate and can't cut in. It has to be the very front of the plate. Okay.
Well, that adds offense.
Yeah, now look, real umpires aren't precise enough to even make that change,
right,
in my opinion. But it's interesting from a computer system standpoint.
Right.
I do wonder how often that is a case that would create a non-strike call there in that instance. So, anyway, fair enough. All right, we will be back soon with you here. Again, more football as the week goes on. Saturday is an open practice for anyone locally in town, another one of those. I'm assuming Saturday morning we'll get the time to you everywhere we can.
They've done two in a row where they open the gates at 11:30, stretches at noon, and the scrimmage starts at 12:30. My guess
is that they stay with that.
My guess is they'll stay with that because they're doing it for recruiting.
You believe?
I would be willing to bet
my
entire existence.
Lane said it was for the media.
Yes, I'm willing to bet.
Lane said he was being nice.
I'm willing to bet any amount of money or existence that Lane was not exactly being forthright with his honesty on that particular answer.
You don't think he put time into thinking how he could help the media out?
I don't think Lane is overly concerned about local media. And on top of that, I don't think he should be.
Yeah.
When you're Lane Kiffin and you can get national media the way that he can, you don't need local media. You only need local media if you're Lane Kiffin, and now this is worth noting, if you're doing PR 101, you only need local media if things start going badly, mm-hmm, or if you have to navigate some form of scandal.
Right.
Where the national media is going to come down with their fangs looking for blood.
And where can you get help?
Yeah. And if you alienate, and I'm not saying this is not before anybody, because we're ending on I don't want to end on a note where people are like, oh, God. We're nowhere close to anything like that. But if you've alienated local media for a period of years and then you suddenly need them, most of them are going to tell you to kick rocks.
Yeah.
And that can be a dangerous thing.
Game times this weekend are 6-2-1. So anyway, thanks for hanging out in the stream. Hope you had a good time. Enjoyed the company in the stream as well. Have a good day. Talk to you later.